Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Up and then speaker down. And we're back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Hello and welcome to the show. Lynette here along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. And a very good morning to you. We're glad you're here. If you need a phone number to call us and be part of our show, that's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We expect to have a very exciting show today, as always, but a little more exciting. We're a tiny bit giddy today.
We are.
We are. Don't you see that? Well, Lynette is because
of
all the equipment.
I was wondering what she drank last night.
Well, probably should drink it on the way in this morning.
Yeah. No. I love new equipment. I love learning all the things. If you saw all the things in here, you would have. It's not just talking into a microphone, going into your radio and stream.
A whole lot of fancy new electronic stuff.
Yes, lots of cameras, light boxes. We have video monitors and teleprompters. You know those things that some presidents are able to
we're
use.
We're not giddy.
I have one
because
yes,
Jerry and I had to do no learning here. The learning is all coming at your end.
Yay!
So we're like, okay,
we
Lynette,
just
fix
sit
it.
Here and
I love it.
We just do our thing.
I love it, and it looks beautiful. And each week we get more and more. And today is with our engineer in the background. You may hear us say funny little things on the phone if you were watching video. Yeah, if you were watching video, you would see our hands going in all directions and giving signals, but we're just all learning all the different things that we have to go today as we're doing our show from our new table and chairs and microphones and very exciting day for us. So let me give you that phone number again, and then we will dive into our show. Leading Edge Medicine on the air at 206-421-5757. Anybody watch the opening ceremonies?
I did.
You did. Yay. For the Olympics. And what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. It was raining.
Yes.
I didn't realize there were so many countries. I didn't know names of so many countries that as they came by on the River Seine.
Yeah, you're like, what?
Yeah. I loved the medal, as we talked about, Celine Dion's
That's
thing.
Who I was waiting
and
for, yes.
They showed you all of Paris while you were sitting at home. So,
yes.
Yeah. And the athletes, of course.
Yes.
Let's not forget the athletes.
But do you like Paris? I mean, I'm assuming you've been there a few times.
No, not a few times, just once for one day.
Okay, and I was once. Yeah, only once. I'd love to go back.
Yeah, see,
not this month.
I'm not fond of Paris. I've been several times.
Have you?
Yeah.
What don't you like about it?
The river?
Well, the Seine stinks.
Yes, yeah. I was shocked at that.
I mean, it's a great big giant open sewer, which is why when they said that they're going to be doing the swimming contest in this giant open sewer.
Ooh, it's not me.
It worries me just a bit. As a physician, I don't normally recommend swimming in sewers, but I understand they're putting a lot of money and effort in trying to clean it up and putting some water treatment plants and stuff and, you know, getting the debris out. So that's good news. Certainly if it was my kids swimming in it, I'd want them to clean it up. I've always found Paris to be dirty, kind of shabby.
True of many big cities, though.
It is. Yeah, I guess I'm just not a big fan of big cities.
When
I go to Europe, I like going to the old cities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, old city of Florence, Florenzia,
yes.
Where the cars are outlawed. You have to walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was built as a pedestrian city, you know, 1,000 years ago, and it's still a pedestrian city. And everywhere you walk, there are, you know, beautiful statues and frescoes, and the architecture is fabulous. And, you know, you're not dodging traffic and listening to the whiz of the wheels. And so I love the old cities. I go to, you know, old city of Florence, you know, and my wife's favorite is Naples,
you know,
the old Napoli.
Do you get pizza when you're there?
Yeah, but you know, Napoleon pizza is really pretty flat. I mean, it's basically crust and tomato sauce with a little bit of cheese.
With a little cheese on top. Yeah. And that's how the pizza is. That's why they can eat a whole pizza.
That's right. You know,
it was
basically some tomato sauce on bread.
That's right. And definitely pineapples.
But the thing is that the sauce is fresh. The tomatoes are, you know, local and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, my favorite of all is Bavaria.
Oh, yeah, really?
In Germany?
In Germany, southern Germany, up in the Alps, the Bavarian Alps, I think are just fabulous. And it's incredibly clean, it's neat, the people are polite, the services are perfect, everything is on time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the scientist in me just thrills in
yes.
Bavaria.
Oh, nice, okay.
I was there just a couple of years ago, and I had to have Black Forest cake.
Okay.
I had to, because I was in Bavaria. You know, you have to kind of do – and in the Black Forest.
In the Black Forest, yes.
So I didn't want the whole thing, though. I shared it with a couple. We all just wanted to say, hey, we did it while we were here. And schnitzel and
– Yeah, there's some things, in Europe that I have tried that I would never try again. In Scotland – I'm trying to remember what they call this.
Haggis.
Haggis. Haggis, yes.
Just basically. The name, haggis.
Yeah.
Haggis.
You know, yeah, I mean, fermented, half-rotted
stuff
in the stomach of a sheep.
Yeah, you have that, and then you have that scotch on top of it, and it all kills all the viruses.
That's right. Holy mackerel.
No, I haven't been to Scotland, so I haven't had haggis. Okay, now note to self. If you go to Scotland, don't have haggis.
Don't eat the haggis.
Or the blood sausage. I mean, it's literally blood and in oats.
Not having that either.
Okay. So what would you order?
Blood mixed in oats.
Well, what would you eat in Scotland? What would be the dish that is
– Shepherd's pie.
Oh.
Shepherd's pie is quite good in
Scotland. Okay, I would do that.
You know, I don't know what there is about the British.
As long as
Isles.
It's not made out of shepherds.
Somehow, Britain has managed to make greasy food totally tasteless.
How do you make
grease tasteless, I have no idea. Everywhere else on the planet, if the food is greasy, it has a lot of flavor.
No, the fish and chips are pretty good. The British fish and chips are pretty good, sir.
But you do have to put
vinegar on it. They put
on vinegar.
That's the vinegar they put on it. Okay.
Here,
that's right.
Have some more vinegar.
Yeah.
I love traveling. I like going places. I have a few favorites. And Bavaria and Florence. Those are my two favorites, I think.
Nice. Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
Nice.
All right.
Fine. Oh, you were looking at some research articles, Jerry, about cost of living and health.
Actually, cost
health
of dying.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Health-related costs.
Yeah. Yes, I was. You know, I was looking at, and I got surprised. I had it wrong. I was thinking that the cost of cancer in America was going to be a big, big motivator because the new cancer drugs are hellaciously expensive.
Mm.
Average of $280,000 a year for a cancer drug.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, mind-boggling cost.
And the scary thing is they only increase lifespan by a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I looked at those and I thought, okay, so cancer is going to be a biggie. So I looked at cancer, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. It turned out that the total cost of cancer in America is about $21 billion.
Mm, okay.
Now, that's a significant hunk of change.
It is.
But it's pretty small when divided up among 340 million people.
Mm.
So the cost per person is quite modest. And the second highest one was cardiovascular disease, heart attacks, strokes, hypertension. And that was the biggest killer.
Mm-hmm.
So I assumed the biggest killer would be the most expensive. Oh. But no, it's about $237 billion.
Okay.
Still more than 10 times higher than cancer.
Mm.
So, you know, 10 times as much money lost on cardiovascular disease than cancer. That surprised me.
Right.
Okay, so what's number one?
Diabetes, especially type 2 diabetes. And that's because so many Americans are becoming diabetic.
Right.
Mm. You know, Center for Disease Control says that one American in three will be diabetic at some point before they die.
Right. That's a scary number, one in three.
One in three. And so diabetes is $450 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. So diabetes is actually the biggest cost sink, the biggest money sink in America. And then comes cardiovascular disease and cancer, which I thought was going to be a biggie.
That's what I figured would be number
puny.
One. That's the one that when we hear the C word, we freak out. We are, oh, my goodness.
That's the one that terrifies everybody.
It does. Yes. Why doesn't
that's
diabetes?
The one that, yeah,
well, because they know that they can live for at least a few more years with diabetes under reasonable control. Yeah. And then they forget about the comorbidities that come with that primary diagnosis. And there are many of them, including blindness, dementia, cancer, amputations.
Yeah.
And that affects the numbers.
Well, the reason I was doing this money research is I've kind of got a project in mind here. You know, as part of the Relief Factor Company, I've got a whole lot of politically connected sort of people that are selling that product for us. You know, we've got everybody from Hugh Hewitt to Glenn Beck to, you know, Sebastian Gorka to Larry Elder to what, I mean, almost everybody on the right that has a show sells Relief Factor for me. And so I've gotten to know all of these guys pretty well. And I kind of have a political agenda that's unrelated to, quote, elections.
Mm.
I want to get rid of the biggest causes of disease in America. You know, I'm concerned about we're spending almost 20% of our entire national budget on health care.
Mm.
And we're not getting any healthier. Mm. We're dying younger. You know, lifespan in America is actually declining despite the fact that we're spending outrageous amounts of money on what we're euphemistically referring to as health care, but is actually disease management.
Correct. Mm.
And so what I'm looking at is, you know, what is the big driver of poor health in America? What is causing people to get diabetes?
Mm.
Well, it's obesity.
Right.
It's being too fat. We're the fattest country on the planet. And we've got the highest incidence of diabetes. And so we're spending the most money on diabetes.
Mm. Yeah.
And so what I'm thinking is we have not really had a federal health program in America since John Kennedy.
Mm. Wow.
John Kennedy, with his back pain, wanted America to become fit and start exercising.
Mm.
And he put a real program in way back then.
Wow.
We don't have that. So
okay.
I'm going to chat about that some more. We come
all right.
Back because it's important to me. All right?
Yes.
So
we'll take a quick break.
And
then we'll be back to finish up. Then we have Susie on the line. We're going to talk with her on Leading Edge Medicine. We'd love to talk with you and get you into the call queue as well. 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Oh, we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning.
We're
experimenting with all of our equipment today in our studio. We're very excited. I'm Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon here, and Dr. Samira Umat, and your phone calls. We're taking your calls. Get into the call queue today with your questions. Don't wait until the very end. We would love to have you call in, and we'd like to talk with you. 206-421-5757. We're going to head over to beautiful Gig Harbor.
I want to finish my talk.
Oh, that's right.
So
I got a little excited.
Leave me alone, beautiful
okay.
Gig Harbor.
Hold on, Susie. We'll be right back.
Just a couple of moments.
That's right.
But the thing is, we need to do something besides keeping throwing more and more and more money at disease in America. And we really need an aggressive health program that is led by our federal attorney, or not attorney general, surgeon general. But you know, the last Surgeon General we had who actually did something for America's health was C. Everett Koop in 1954.
Really?
I'm sorry, 1984.
Okay.
Wow. Dr. Koop was the one who pushed the anti-smoking campaign.
Ah, okay.
And got America to quit smoking.
Yeah.
And that was the last really successful federal program we had to improve health in America. Mm. And smoking is no longer the big killer in America, although it kills too many people. I wish the rest of the smokers would quit.
Yeah.
But the big killer in America today is obesity. It's weight. Mm. We weigh too much. So we need a program, a surgeon general, that will publicly start pushing for America to get lean and fit. Mm. But to move that needle, to get that political thing happening, you need people agitating for it. And that's why my next program is to get hold of Dennis Prager and Hugh Hewitt and, you know, all of the people that on are that are on the Trump train, because I think Trump is going to win the coming election. He's ahead in the swing states, and it's, there's only four states that really determine who's going to be president anymore, and he's ahead in those four.
Yes, he
so
is.
I'm presuming that, you know, his attorney, his surgeon general is the one we need to convince.
Okay.
And since Trump is on the right, then I want to get all those right spokespeople to start pushing him to let's get a health, let's get an anti-weight, let's get a health and fitness program going in America from the federal level down. Let's get some real leadership in this area.
Yeah.
So we need MAHA hats.
No, but
M-A-H-A.
Yes.
Jerry,
make America,
one of
healthy.
The America big, healthy.
Big, one of the big things about here, since we are talking politics, is going to be the food industry. Mm. It's our food that is processed and packaged and made convenient for us.
Yes.
That is a big culprit here. Because sugar, you don't have satiety when you're eating sugar.
No, you don't.
You eat sugar and you want more sugar.
Yeah, you get a little burst of energy and then you're hungry again. No, that's true. But the problem there is not even the food industry. It's that we are a country in which both husband and wife need to work to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, used to be one person worked and one person stayed home and prepared the meals and so on. And, you know, the family would get together and these were home prepared meals.
Yeah.
And they were made basically from scratch.
Well, I don't
but you
see.
You can't do that and work 40 hours a week. It's a physical impossibility.
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with both couple, you know, both working.
Except you're going to eat faster
food. Fast food, yeah.
Well, there's no time for anything else.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Okay?
Bingo.
So the problem is not the food. The problem is we are a society in which everybody has to work to keep to make ends meet.
But there are food companies that will, you know, provide healthier resources and
there
healthier
are.
Options, but it's more expensive.
It's far more expensive. And Mr. and Mrs. Middle Class America can't afford them.
Yeah.
And you still have to cook it, so where's the time?
No. There are companies that are making it a lot easier for
I'm
you.
I'm thinking the ones that send it to you.
And it's much faster. And I think there is something holistic about prepping and doing things together as a couple too. Like in my family, we both will engage and one will do one. And I think there's, we go shopping together. We cut, we prep and we clean up together. We eat together. And I think if you engage the family in that, it also is a holistic, experience.
Yes.
And also it's good for the children to watch and be a part of that equation.
And learn. That's and right. learn where their food comes from
my
and
point,
how to make
though,
it.
My point, though, is that we do not have a society that's structured to that.
No.
We have a society that's structured that both members of the couple, husband and wife, are both out working. They both come home tired, and they eat whatever they can eat in a hurry.
Well, you know, I mean, there's food joints are open 24/7. You can order pizza anytime.
My
you can
point precisely.
Order the cookies and the cookies
and
galore
you do it once,
exist.
You might do it twice, and then it becomes
and
a habit.
I'm not saying whether, you know, who should be the one staying home fixing the meal. Although in my family, you do not want it to be me. You know, I am a survival cook. If you eat what I cook, you will survive, but I promise you will not enjoy it much, okay? So, you know, I'm a terrible cook.
Well, and you have someone who loves to cook.
I have someone who loves
to
cook.
And has her kitchen ready to go.
And I'm fortunate enough that I am the only breadwinner in the family because, you know, I can do that. But I am not typical of America. Most of America has to have both husband and wife working full-time to make ends meet. And they barely make ends meet now. And so being able to get them leaner and fit is a big project. And we're going to have to basically look at our society and say, how do we want to restructure things?
Yeah. There's a lot. We go back to those. Dan Buettner talked about that a lot in the Centenarian studies and the work that he's done about longevity, the blue zones.
Yes.
And he has tried to create public awareness in cities where there are more places to walk to, where their access to physical activity is easier. And he's a proponent for fresh food and holistic cooking and eating and living. It's again comes down to the same thing. He goes, we have too many highways. We have too many cars.
Yes.
Grocery stores are too far away. Food is readily available around the corner. That's, not healthy for you.
And it's absolutely true. And, again, my spouse and I are blessed in that we live a 20-minute walk from a grocery store, and we never buy food for more than about 2 or 3 days.
It's always fresh.
Every second or third day, we walk hand in hand from our home down to the grocery store, and we buy our food for the next day or two, and I end up carrying it home in the bag.
Yay!
I've got the food in one hand and my wife's hand in the other, and we walk back home. Yeah. But again, we are not the typical American couple. You can't judge America by our blessed, super elitist state. And let's face it, I live a life that is not typical of the average guy. I wish everyone could live as well as I do, but it's never going to happen.
Well, you're a doctor and you've worked hard all your life.
I'm still working.
77
years
at
old.
77.
I'm still working full time, and I've been working since I was 17.
Yeah.
Yes, and I've accumulated security and a degree of financial security and so on that most people have not. But you can't judge everybody by that. And so what I'm trying to do is to try to start a political movement to get us a Surgeon General who will really start putting an emphasis on healthful living for America. We make that a federal priority, that we want a healthy country. Okay, and we need to kind of look at that honestly and debate, what do we need to do? I don't have all the answers. I know that we need to find the answers, and I know that we need to discuss it, and people need to come up with a variety of ideas, and what fits this group won't fit that group, but we need to look at it. Is it going to be hubby and wife both work 6 hours a day instead of 8 to 10? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe if you've got two folks and you're both working and you've got a career that you enjoy, but neither of you are beating yourself to death at it.
Yeah, work-life balance.
Yes.
Do you alternate? He works, then she works. I don't know, and I don't really care which answers we come to. I suspect it'll be a variety of answers for different people.
Yes.
But we need to start making it a national priority because
we got a problem.
Overweight is killing us.
Yeah, we are all agreed on that.
Yeah. We are sick. We are spending an enormous amount of unnecessary money on illness that we should be spending on health.
Yeah, we're based on disease treatment, not prevention.
Precisely, and that's my point.
Yeah. Very good. Dr. Mixon for president. It's not too late.
I
hear you can switch out and jump right in the race. And
absolutely not.
Okay, no. Plus, we like you. You
I
hear the
no
music?
No desire to run anyone else's life. I'm enjoying my own.
Yes, you are.
And I don't want anyone else to run mine.
No. Right.
Leave me alone.
That's right.
I'm having a great time running my own.
Yes, you
are. I don't want to run yours.
We're going to go to break right now. We'll be right back. Going to talk with Susie. And we'd love to talk with you, too. Get into our call queue at 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. Lynette here with you and Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat. We're in our brand new studio. We're having way too much fun looking at all the...
Never too much fun.
Oh, I know. All the cameras, the microphones, and now the engineer has left. So
right. We're on our own.
We're on our own. Woo! Okay. We'd love to have you call in, be a part of our show. If you've got a diagnosis, maybe some symptoms you're dealing with, perhaps you were told by the doctor that this is going on in your body, but you don't really know what it is. Please give us a call. We'd like to talk to you. As we are aging, so many things happen. It seems to happen all at once, but doctors, you know, doctors, you know, this is something that's building up and starting probably years ago and sometimes further.
Yeah, the disease process usually starts decades before we feel it.
Yeah.
And I think the example that we really need to get women to understand is that breast cancer does not start in your 50s.
Yeah, I was just diagnosed, and it's like, nope.
You started with dysplasia, just a few abnormal cells in your breast tissue, probably in your mid-30s. It wasn't cancer, but it was no longer perfectly normal breast tissue. And they got worse and worse and worse over maybe a 10 or 15-year period. And somewhere in your 40s, you develop that first malignant cell. And then you had the cancer 5 to 10 years before it got big enough for us to discover it.
Wow.
So you got diagnosed, you know, in your mid-50s with a breast cancer, but the process to give you that breast cancer started in your 30s.
Wow.
And so what we need to do, and there, you know, we had a caller earlier today talk about, you know, are you interested in younger people? Yes.
Yes.
Because I want to get those women in here in their 30s, so they never develop the dysplastic changes that will then develop into a breast cancer later. Mm-hmm. You know, we can start in your 50s and put you on anabolic steroids like testosterone and cut your risk of breast cancer by 85%. But if we were to start you in your 30s and never let those hormones get out of whack, we could probably cut that risk of breast cancer by 95%.
That's huge.
You know, and it's just a matter of we got to start early.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I want to save, I don't want to treat breast cancer. I don't want the women to ever get it in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that means we need to be measuring their hormone levels in their 30s, not in their 40s and 50s, not with menopause. We need to be starting when the hormones are first starting to decline in their 30s. You know, that's where we started treating my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think every woman should be treated. The way I treat my wife is the way I want every woman in America treated.
Yes.
Okay. I want to lower their risk of things like cancer and dementia and diabetes as much as we possibly can. I don't want to treat them after they're sick. I don't want them to ever get sick.
Okay. Good news. And this is why we are here with longevity. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We're taking your calls. If you've got a concern, 206-421-5757. Beautiful Gig Harbor. I am amazed. It's probably just gorgeous today, right, Susie?
Right. And I have a question for my husband and a suggestion for Dr. Nixon and then my question. My husband, I'm just going to go first. He has diabetes type 2. His doctor recommended metformin, but he's heard pros and cons. And he just wanted me to ask what you think of metformin.
I think metformin is a great drug, not just for type 2 diabetics, but for most of us. Metformin is a SIRT1 inhibitor. It's actually a great anti-aging drug. And so, diabetics who take metformin live on average 5 years longer than non-diabetics.
Who don't take metformin?
Who don't take metformin, okay.
And, but do you take it regularly or just once in a while?
No, regularly.
Regularly.
I take it twice a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he's type 2, not type 1.
No, absolutely. Metformin is not a good type 1 drug. Type 1 has to have insulin, by definition.
That's great news. And then I have a suggestion. You know Sebastian Gorka and all Trump's people. Why don't you get a hold of Dr. Ronnie Jackson, member congressman now, who was his doctor. He may put you in touch with a surgeon general.
Well, that's true, yeah. Although our current surgeon general is a waste of time.
Yeah, but was that the same one under Trump?
No. Each administration brings in their own surgeon general.
Right, but you can still find out from Dr. Jackson.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, but the question is, whoever is elected president will select the new Surgeon General.
And so you have to wait.
Yeah, so what we need to do is to start now.
To rally up
talking
someone.
Talking to the people that are trying to become president so that when they become president, they can select a new Surgeon General.
Yeah.
I don't know any movers
and shakers. I'm not
going to
get into my politics on this one. They're similar to yours. All right, so my situation is, I think we had some form of COVID. My husband caught it from his family. He brought it home. I got it. I never got a temperature. And I did take erythromycin. And, but as a result, I have my taste buds are just not there. My sense of smell is not there. And my hearing has gotten a lot worse. I'm wondering, is there something I can do, some vitamin? So I've tried the Navage-type stuff, you know, every day. I eat bone broth. I mean, applesauce. But, you know, I still can't get that hearing back, smell or taste. Will it ever come back?
Usually it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually.
Was it the erythromycin that did it or the COVID or the virus or whatever?
Probably the virus, yeah. COVID is an interesting virus in that...
Not interesting.
You know, it grows in fat cells. So the heavier you are, the higher viral load you tend to have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a neurologic virus, and it hits nerves. And so that's why some people get long-term fatigue and fuzzy-headed and et cetera. But taste and smell are classic presentations for COVID virus.
And hearing, too? Hearing loss?
Hearing loss, not as much, although it's there. I mean, it's a cranial nerve. And so the virus is hitting cranial nerves in a whole lot of people. Most of the time, within 6 or 8 months, it improves.
Yeah. Do you have any other symptoms like fatigue or anything else, or just the hearing and taste?
I'm tired and worn out, but I mean that's probably from the, you know, you get post nasal drip, you get all these things that help cause some of the problems. So
yes,
I mean I'll load up on the B vitamins, keep doing what I'm doing. I got to keep a positive attitude. But other than that, there's nothing you could. You don't want me to take any more erythromycin or any amoxicillin, do you?
It's not going to do any good for a viral illness, no.
Okay.
All it's going to do is kill a lot of the good bacteria in your gut.
Okay.
So we try to avoid antibiotics unless you really need them.
Yeah, okay. So just wait this thing out.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, and you know what? One last thing you guys forgot to say. You're living such a good life because of all the people you've helped. How many doctors you know that have volunteered, 20 years or more on the radio where we can all call in like this and get answers?
Yeah, yeah. No, we're coming up on 28 years on the radio.
Wow. Oh, 28. One last suggestion. What about some sort of a Cologuard that you would sell on your store, on your website, something that you approve of that you think... You know, that way if insurance won't cover it, we can purchase it from you.
You know, that's not a bad idea. I'll talk to our company president about that and see what he thinks.
And then let us know when you do it.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Hey, I'm good with ideas. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, you know, Sebastian Gorka and I had a rip-roaring argument a few weeks ago.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. About, you know, if Trump should win, what should his response be?
Okay.
You know, my belief was that, you know, we need to damp down the temperature. We need to quit attacking each other, that Mr. Trump needs to show himself to be the larger man and not go after his opponents the way they're going after him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he needs to draw the distinction. Now, that doesn't mean there shouldn't be consequences.
Right.
You know, for instance, those 51 people who violated their oath and lied to us about, you know, young Biden's laptop being a Russian disinformation, they should lose their security clearance. They shouldn't go to jail. You know, I mean, there's a difference. So there can be consequences without legal attacks.
Mm.
Sebastian, on the other hand, is a hardliner, you know, and he was saying, the only way we're going to get, you know, justice in America and make people believe in justice is if we put all the evildoers in jail. And so
we don't have big enough jails.
We don't have big enough jails, yeah. You don't want to lock up every politician in the country, and that's pretty much what you'd have to do. So, you know, my philosophy is softer, gentler, let's not attack each other. Let's find solutions, not retribution. Mm. And Sebastian wants to go whack them hard.
Oh, boy. So. Again, Dr. Mixon for president. Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll hear some music here, and then we will be back with another phone call. And your questions, today is a day to call in at 206-421-5757. If you've been meaning to call about this or that, please do call. We enjoy your questions, and that makes the show so special. 206-421-5757. Here's our break. We'll be back with Bill in just a moment. Medicine. Oh, what a day. Good morning. Lynette here with you and Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat in the studio. We're taking your questions today. We're live, as always. Here's the number to call if you have a question. We invite you to call now, not at the end of the show. Very important to get in and get into the call queue. 206-421-5757. All right, headed to Tacoma. Bill is on the line. Good morning, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. I have two questions, and I'd like to take them off the air after I ask them. The first one, I'd like to know, what are the side effects of carbidopa, lapidopa, and what important part does boron play in good health?
Couple of interesting questions. Okay, levodopa, carbidopa is a combination that is used and has been used probably since the 1960s for Parkinson's disease. Levodopa is the actual active form of the chemical that has the impact in your brain. The carbidopa is converted to levodopa in your system. And so it just makes the drug last longer. So you start with the levodopa, have the immediate impact, and the carbidopa comes on as you're metabolizing off the levodopa. And it's just that Parkinson's disease is a insensitivity to dopamine in the brain, in the movement centers. Dopamine is a chemical that has a lot of functions in the human brain. Part of it is our reward center. It makes us feel good, and our dopamine levels rise whenever things happen that are pleasurable to us. And so dopamine is kind of our reward and to some degree our addiction drug. If dopamine levels are stimulated too hard, you actually become addicted to the process. But Parkinsonian patients are losing the receptors in their brain for the dopamine. And dopamine is also necessary for movement, for facial expression, for muscle contraction. And so as our dopamine levels drop too low, we lose a lot of the enthusiasms in life, but we also lose some of our emotional stability, and we get kind of a flat effect. We don't have a lot of facial expression. Our face almost becomes a expressionless mask. We have trouble getting moving to walk, but then once we start walking, we have trouble stopping. Muscular control for motion is impaired. The fact is that for a long time, this was a disease that basically you ended up in the nursing home fairly quickly. Now, with levodopa, carbidopa, we've been able to treat this probably, I forget when that started, late 50s, early 60s, I would guesstimate. It's been around as long as I've been in practice of medicine, and I've been practicing medicine for 48 years. So it's an old-timey drug, been around a long, long time. The problem with this therapy is that we are stimulating those dying receptors, and there is an argument from some people that we actually accelerate the loss of the receptors. that by kicking up the dose of dopamine that gives us some temporary relief and improvement in our function, that we may be actually accelerating the decline, the ultimate decline of the disease process. I have read that argument by some good doctors. I've also read arguments claiming that those doctors are all wet. So I'm not sure where the truth is. I am not a neurologist. I do not specialize in Parkinsonian disease. When I was a country doctor, I wrote this combination for my Parkinsonian patients on a regular basis. So, you know, and it seemed to help. What was his other question? Boron?
Boron, yeah.
All right.
Boron.
You want to start, Boron?
Well, it's an element.
It's a mineral, yeah.
Yeah, it's a mineral, and it is used for many different reasons. Sometimes in prostate health, because it helps reduce PSA levels. Mm-hmm. In women, used to treat yeast infections, menstrual cramping sometimes. But as a mineral, it affects calcium, magnesium, and phosphorus levels.
I'm sure there'd be a competition for the receptors.
Correct. So you can find it naturally in green leafy vegetables, but then for certain symptoms like PSA rising, we can use that. Sometimes we use it to potentially reduce the level of sex hormone binding globulin, which is a binding protein and holds on to the total testosterone and doesn't allow it to free.
Testosterone and estrogen.
Exactly. Okay. And for sometimes reducing menstrual cramps, yeast infections, maybe some other aches and pains.
All right. So he didn't want to stay on the air, which is too bad because I'd like to have asked him a little more detail.
Yeah.
What specifically is he concerned about with the boron?
Right.
Because it has a whole lot, you know, very widespread spectrum of uses and physiologic effects.
Right.
And I'm sure he had something specific in mind.
Mm.
And since we have no idea what that was, it makes it impossible for us to address it, which is why we like it if people stay on the air.
Yeah, so stay on the line.
Right.
So could have gotten dropped.
They ask a question and we can ask them a question right back.
Yes. Yes.
So, at any rate, that's where we are with what you've asked and as much as we know to answer you.
That's right.
All right. Thank you for that call. Bill, we have just a few minutes before we go to the top of the hour. Let's head over to Fir Crest near Edmonds. We have Jim on the line. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Yes. Hi, good morning. I was listening to the program, and you were talking about metformin and diabetes.
Yes.
And I want to ask about a medication called Jardiance and Parflozin. And I take all the basic medications, you know, for high blood pressure and all that. And this is a new medication. So can the doctors please tell me something about this one, Jardiance? Are you familiar with that?
Jardiance, yes.
Yeah, Jardiance, yeah. It's one of the newer diabetes medications.
Right. Uh-huh. So. And you are talking about expenses, right? That diabetes treatment is the most costly.
Oh, yes. And the diabetes is the most costly for America.
Yes.
I just saw the medication that I got, and for 3 months, it's $2,000.
Yes, it is.
$2,000 for 3 months. And I said, my goodness, I mean, I swear I'd do something else with my life. That's too expensive.
Yeah, and that's about $8,000 a year.
Yeah, and that's not even counting the insulin sometimes people need and all the other diabetes medications.
Just some tablets. That's $8,000 a year for tablets.
Yes.
Anyways, what can you tell me? Do you have any... I don't know, it's just new and I'm a little bit hesitant about taking it because the side effects are very dangerous and if I can avoid it, do you have any, metoprolol, that's another new one that they gave me.
Metoprolol is a beta blocker,
yes.
Not for diabetes
no,
though,
it's not.
But
what
he's talking about multiple factors, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I take metformin, lisinopril, hydrochlorothiazide, isoxazoline, glipizide.
Yeah, you're taking a whole lot of stuff for a
right,
lot of
right, right. And what is your dose of metformin? Oh, we're going to a break.
We need to take a little break. That's why she's signaling.
Yes. Okay. So, Jim, stay on the line. We're going to talk about the different medications that you're on.
A little bit.
Okay. And what they're doing and see if we can help you out, answer some questions. We'll take a quick break here and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Here's the phone number to get into the call queue, just like Jim did. And Catherine, we're going to talk with you in a little bit as well. Here's that number to get through today. Live in the studio, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Leading Edge Medicine continues with hour number two. In just a moment, Jim, you hang on the line. We'll be right back.